You're now listening to the Win Some, Lose Some Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Win Some, Lose Some Podcast. I'm your host, Carson, and this is actually episode 2 of my new show. So I wanted to start off by just saying thanks so much to everybody who has supported me so far in this. It wasn't easy putting myself out like this. I'm not like a super extroverted person. I can interact and engage and talk and socialize when I need to, but I don't particularly consider myself very extroverted and social. So it's kind of a challenge for me to put this out, and I got a lot of support when I put out episode 1. I had some people telling me that they enjoyed what I had to say, and they enjoyed listening to the show, and that I did a good job. And I had some people giving me pointers as well, telling me what they felt that I could improve upon. So I really do appreciate all the feedback and the engagement that I've got on that, and it means a lot to me. Keep it coming. I'd really like to hear it. So on today's show, what I have planned is I'm going to go into why I chose to start watching AEW, which is called All Elite Wrestling. Yeah, a little surprising for me, but I'm going to talk a little bit more about what I find appealing about that. I'm also going to feature a band on today's show called Banded Blood. This is a band that I actually have a deep history with. I used to play music with these guys, so I'm going to take you on a little bit of a musical history journey of my own, as well as feature some music from the band called Banded Blood. I'm also going to talk a little bit today about discussing politics on Facebook. Now, I'm not a very political person. I don't share my views very much, but I'm going to share my thoughts and my feelings about discussing politics on social media. I'm also going to cover the booze that I'm drinking this week. You know, this week's featured booze is going to be coming at you. And I'm also, just like last week, I'm going to cover 3 things that are new to me. So before we jump in, I'm just going to remind you real quick that if you'd like, you can leave my show a voice message, which is a message that you can record right from your phone that I'll get right into my inbox here on my podcast website. What's really cool about that is you can record a message and send me your opinion on something that I said, send me something that you have that you might want to discuss, or just share anything with me at all, whether you like my show, whether you don't like my show, whether I can improve upon something, whether you have something that you want to suggest. Share it all. I'd love to hear from you. You can do so by going to anchor.fm/winsomeboozesome, and right on that page there's a button that says leave a message. Also, while you're there, if you wish to, there's a button that allows you to support my show to the point where you could make a monetary donation to my show if you wish to support. I don't ask for that and I don't expect that. What I'd really like for you to do is if you find my show enjoyable and you think somebody else might like my show as well, mention it, tag it, or share it with friends on social media when I post an update or when I post that there's a new show that's taking place. And I gotta say that I'd love for you to do that more than anything so that you can help me to get the show out to those who might be interested in listening. So the first topic I want to discuss on today's show is going to be AEW Wrestling, or All Elite Wrestling is what AEW stands for. Now, if you'd asked me about a year ago or so, I would have told you that I never would have expected to find myself watching wrestling here, especially in my 30s. Heck, I would even go as far as to kind of poke fun or give a hard time to people who still really watch wrestling. But the fact of the matter is that AEW is just pretty damn good. Before we talk a little bit about why I decided to watch AEW, I'm going to talk a little bit about the history of the company. So in 2017, there was a journalist who made a comment about a wrestling promotion called Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor was a promotion that was involving Cody Rhodes, who is a former WWE wrestler, and also two wrestlers called Nick and Matt Jackson that form a tag team called the Young Bucks, who are also widely regarded. Anyways, this journalist made a comment about the Ring of Honor promotion, and he said, hey, this promotion can't sell 10,000 tickets for any single show. This guy was basically being a jerk, being a douche, calling out, I guess, this promotion for whatever reason he felt himself the need to say that this couldn't happen. Anyways, he called them out and said, hey, your promotion can't sell 10,000 tickets for a show. So in response to that, Cody Rhodes and Nick and Matt Jackson, they took that basically as a challenge. And a year later, what they did is they assembled an independent wrestling show filled with performers and staff personnel, filled with performers, staff, and personnel, all from the independent circuit, which basically means anybody who is not former WWE or anybody not WWE or WCW affiliated. And that took place in 2018. This event was called All In. And have you know, the event actually wound up selling 11,200 tickets. So 11,200 people were in attendance for this show. So it's safe to say that that journalist kind of got his words turned around on them, because what he said couldn't have been done basically was. So what that led to was that led to Cody Rhodes, or I guess I should say more appropriately, that led to speculation that Cody Rhodes and Nick and Matt Jackson were going to try to start up their own promotion. So at that point, based upon this all-in event and how successful it was and how acclaimed it was, because this is a well-regarded show, apparently, I didn't watch it. I didn't really even know anything about it. I didn't even watch or care about anything about this at that point. But this show is so regarded that it led people to speculate and start to talk and chatter about Cody Rhodes, Nick Jackson, and Matt Jackson doing this on a regular and starting their own promotion. So sure enough, in 2018, there was a trademark filed for the name AEW and for the name All Elite Wrestling, and also various naming conventions for events or what might be seen or considered future events were filed in trademark. On January 1st, 2019, the All Elite Wrestling promotion was officially announced. So it was at that point official. All Elite Wrestling was a thing. It was a bona fide promotion that was going to be starting. And also what was announced was their debut show, or their debut event, I suppose you could call it, which was called Double or Nothing, which was considered a sequel to the All In event that we just discussed. So what also occurred is Cody and Nick and Matt Jackson, known as the Young Bucks, were also officially signed with the promotion as competitors and, you know, as performers. And also they were serving as AEW's executive vice presidents, or EVPs, which basically means that they call the shots. They're at the top. So the promotion is actually founded financially by Shahid Khan, who is actually the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars here in Florida. So these, him and his son actually are involved in the promotion. His son is named Tony, and he runs the day-to-day of the AEW company. He's, you know, the I guess you could call the CEO of the company. And his father, Shahid Khan, is the financial, the engine financially behind the whole operation. He pays the bills. So the Khans are obviously billionaires. They're, you know, extremely wealthy. They have the money to fund this promotion. So that's where the promotion is. That's how the promotion is staffed at the top and how it came to be initially. So in January, furthermore, the promotion started to announce that it had signed various talent from Ring of Honor and from the independent wrestling circuit. Most notably, though, the company signed Chris Jericho, who is from the WWE. He's very, very well known historically in the WWE. His work is acclaimed, and he's highly regarded as one of the more popular WWE superstars of all time. So his signing with the company was a big deal because it gave the promotion credibility. And I'm not going to lie, personally, I've always been a pretty big fan of Jericho. When I was younger, I really, really I really was into wrestling, and Chris Jericho was one of my favorites because he was always just such a witty, for lack of a better term, he's a witty asshole, and he always had the funniest things to say, and he was always very charismatic, and I just liked the way that he would always rip these funny segments, talking on the mic, and he was really good in the ring too to watch, and so he was one of my favorites when I was younger. And what's interesting is that as I became more into music myself, I'd always known that Jericho was involved in his own band and his own music, but I'd never really taken them seriously until I started to follow more closely like independent rock. Because being an artist yourself, you tend to follow other happenings like at your level or more underground type, the more underground realm, so to speak, of the music that you're involved in. And so Chris Jericho's band called Fozzy, for a really long time, they were one of those bands that you kind of knew about but had never really, really broken big. So I'd always kind of kept my pulse on them, but it wasn't until they had a song come out, I think in 2016 or 2017, called Judas, which is the very popular song. That song just blew up somehow. I'm sure Chris Jericho's popularity had a lot to do with it and the resources and money that he's able to put into that. But anyways, that song blew up. And so I was like, hey, you know, when that song came out, I was like, hey, I know this band. They're called Fozzy. I've kind of been aware of them for a while. I liked some of their songs back when I was younger, when Jericho was still doing it. But I always thought Jericho did it as a joke. And it turns out that when this song Judas came out, it put Fozzy on like a completely new stratosphere. And they became almost like a powerhouse in the more modern rock environment, I guess you could call it. So they're becoming more and more and more popular. They're starting to, you know, spin up popularity as they go. And I started to admire the fact that, like, hey, here's this guy, here's Jericho, who I've followed as a wrestler for a long time when I was younger. I kind of admired because of that when I was younger, watching him perform. But now I'm playing rock music. I'm trying to do music seriously and produce and put out music on a professional level that people listen to that reaches, you know, masses. And Jericho's done both. He's accomplished both. So that was something that I looked up to and I admired as somebody who kind of plays both hats and does them both really well. So that's when I saw that Chris Jericho signed with AEW, I was like, hey, whoa, this is kind of cool for somebody that well known, that regarded, to take a chance on a startup promotion. This must mean that something cool is happening. So at that point, I wasn't into it. I was just kind of more casually keeping an eyeball on it. I was just intrigued by what the possibility of this outcome might be. So the AEW had announced that it was going to have a weekly television show, and I believe they made their announcement in September 2019 that they'd be putting a show on TNT every week. So that show is called Dynamite, and myself, I didn't really get around to checking it out until it had been on TV probably for about 2 months. And what's funny is that one day I wasn't even really planning on watching it. I think I had even forgotten that it had come out, and I was just flipping through channels on the TV. Like, I have streaming TV, and it's just run through my Xbox, so it works like a TV guide. You just go down the list of channels and it shows you everything that's playing on the time block. And I saw it said All Elite Wrestling, and I think it was like 9 o'clock, 9:30 at night, and I wasn't really in the middle of much, so I was like, hey, why not? Why the heck not? Why not check this out and see what it's about? So there's always that, I guess, that nostalgic curiosity that you have, or that affinity that you have towards things that you liked or loved when you were younger. And that's probably what led me to hitting the button to turn it on. So you know, that small curiosity there that's like, hey, you know, what if this is cool? What if this is neat? What if this brings me back to my younger days of something that I really loved and enjoyed? So I hit the button, I turned it on, and I was checking it out, and I saw these dudes, they're flying around, like kicking each other in the face. It's, you know, they're smacking each other, they're popping each other in the head. There's people going through tables. There's people jumping off the top of the ring, doing all kinds of crazy flips that I haven't seen since I used to watch the WWF back in like the late 1990s or early 2000s. See, one of the biggest criticisms with the WWF now that you could, you know, now called the WWE, is that they've gone extremely politically correct. They've mitigated, I guess, what could be seen as risky or bad influencing, I suppose. And so they don't really, you don't see the kind of craziness that made the WWE really what it was or what it hooked people in off of back then, or at least from what I recall. When I used to watch WWF back in the late 1990s and early 2000s, you watched it because it was raw, it was edgy, it was exciting, it was entertaining. You never knew what was going to happen, and you always saw something crazy. So nowadays, one of the biggest knocks on the WWE is that they're too politically correct and they don't take those types of risks. So when I was watching the AEW, I was seeing people, it's kind of crazy, like I was seeing people cuss on TV when they were talking on the mic. I was seeing people like cracking each other in the head with, you know, like karate kicks, and it was making like these loud pop sounds. They were doing all kinds of crazy flips off the top of the ring, and I was just like, whoa, this is kind of neat. This kind of brings me back to what I used to enjoy when I was a little kid watching wrestling. So it's very much to say that, like most things in life that you enjoy, there's a degree of that enjoyment that is nostalgia driven, right? Think about why you listen to the same kind of music that you like all the time, or the same songs that you enjoy all the time. It's because you know that you enjoy them and there's nostalgia behind them. It's the same reason for going back and rewatching a movie that you've seen before. You know that you enjoy it because of the nostalgia involved. Same thing with old TV shows that you decide to rewatch. Why do you rewatch them? Well, because you want that joy of going through those experiences again. So to say that I watch AEW and I check it out because it's nostalgia driven, it's true. I don't have shame in admitting that. As much as I'm part of a music scene myself here, I'm part of music and I'm trying to make music myself that's new and enjoyable for people who haven't heard our music before. And I like to stay myself searching for things that are fresh and new as much as possible. But Much like others, I do enjoy nostalgia-driven entertainment from time to time. And now the thing that I find interesting about AEW is that, yes, the reason I went to check it out and the reason I got drawn towards it was that nostalgia factor. You know, hey, this might bring you back to when you were a little kid watching that, you know, enjoying watching people flip around and do crazy things for entertainment's sake. But at the same time, it's still new. It's competing with the WWE, which is this big, giant powerhouse. You know, the WWE is the evil empire, and AEW is trying to compete with them and give fans a viable and entertaining alternative that, simply put, just offers a better overall product. And personally, I find it to be very entertaining, and I'm enjoying it so far. Now, when you're talking about wrestling, obviously you've got these crazy, unbelievable dramatic stories, and you've got these really like crazy, silly, wild characters. Me personally, while that stuff's interesting and I guess kind of fun and goofy just to watch unfold, personally, I think what I enjoy most is just watching these guys beat the hell out of each other. They're athletes, and they do these, like I said, like these crazy acrobatics and these wild flips around. And they do this stuff that I could never even imagine putting myself through. And at the end of the day, I just don't have a choice but to respect what they do. And I think that's what kind of keeps me interested in checking it out every week. The AEW's presence, I think, is significant because, again, it seems like they're trying to compete with the WWE. They haven't been afraid to put that out there. You know, they've not really alluded to it directly, if I'm mistaken, but they've tongue-in-cheek reference the fact that they're there to give a product that's better than the alternative. And I think that's significant because they have the financial firepower to make it happen. The cons, again, are extremely wealthy and they have the financial resources to really put behind this. And I think the product actually shows. They're doing a good job of enlisting former recognizable talent from the WWE, but also using their time to invest in, you know, some more unknown talent that needs the attention, and that's just simply put, you know, fresh and new. So I think they're doing a good job of balancing older recognizable talent with new talent and integrating their roster to keep things entertaining. And from a production standpoint, I think what they really have going for them is that their show's well produced week over week. But it doesn't feel overproduced. I took a peek at a WWE show the other day, just for the heck of it, just to check out and see how it looks, how it feels. And it feels almost too polished. It feels too produced. And it just doesn't have the same soul. It doesn't have the same soul or feel. It doesn't feel authentic. It doesn't feel like anything could happen at any moment or something could go crazy or unhinged. And I think that's one of the bigger draws that AEW has. And it's one of the things that's kind of kept me watching it and kept me entertained when I do watch. And I think that's one of the biggest things that they have going. So I would like to see them keep and hold on to that feeling no matter how big they get. But I do think that based upon what I've seen so far, the sky is the limit for them, and I think that they really can compete with the WWE based upon all of the attention that they're getting. It really stinks right now that there's no crowds involved because of the COVID-19 crisis that we're experiencing right now, and I really hope that that doesn't drop them off and lose some of the spark and the fire that they had going. I expect that it won't, though, because even their no crowd shows are doing pretty good and they're keeping it pretty entertaining. They're pushing things forward, but I'm excited to see what they have for the future, and I'm definitely going to keep checking it out. So if you're a wrestling fan, or if you're into AEW, or if you've checked it out and you like it, let me know what you think. Let me know if you think I'm crazy and AEW is not that good and you prefer the WWE. Let me know your thoughts. I'd love to hear what you have to say. So this week's featured band is a band called Banded Blood out of Tampa, Florida area. Banded Blood is a band that actually I have history with. Banded Blood is Shane Loughridge and Jimmy Creamer. And I know these guys from back when I actually did music with them. So before jumping into their songs and sharing a little bit about them, it's important to know the history of my relationship with them. In fact, I owe a lot of my musical experience and growth to the band that we were in back when. See, in, I think it was about 2010, I want to say. Back in about 2010, Shane, he had put an ad out on Craigslist, which is funny because I've had uncharacteristically a lot of success finding bands on Craigslist, actually. It's mostly where you find a bunch of crazy people, but I've actually joined two bands successfully through Craigslist. This band that I'm referencing now from my past, actually the band I'm in currently as well, Deviate the Plan, I found Chris and Jake on Craigslist also. So back in about, I think, 2010, maybe 2011, Shane put an ad out on Craigslist and I had responded to it. They were looking for a bass player. And at the time, I was living up in Hudson, Florida. And Shane was over in San Antonio, which is about 30 or 40 minutes east of Hudson, down State Road 52 over by the interstate. So it was a little bit of a haul. But the thing is that, interest-wise, Shane and I had hit it off as far as interests that we had shared with one another. We both liked classic rock and hard rock type music. And when we were discussing
over email what our influences were, what type of sound we liked. It was a hit. Now, Shane and Jimmy are a little bit older than I am, and they were a little bit older at the time. At the time, it was like, I guess it was a little intimidating working with and pairing up with musicians that were a little older than me. But once we started jamming, it all gelled pretty well. So that was back in about 2010. There was a band called Sundog, and I was a member of that band as a bass player with Shane, with Jimmy, and with our drummer named Tony, who I really actually enjoyed playing with. Tony was a very, very hard-hitting, very straightforward, driven drummer with a great, great pocket feel. And I loved playing with him. It was one of those situations where, like, anytime he would play a fill, I was always there. And anytime I would play a fill or, like, a doodle on bass during, you know, like, a riff or a segment or a passage in a song, he was always there with something to match it. There was a real super awesome communication there that was really cool to experience and feel. And I really enjoyed that about playing with Tony on drums. So I had a really good time playing music with Sundog. I learned a lot with them. And we played a fair amount. We never got super, super, super into playing the scene, only because it was hard at the time. The scene, I think, I recall the scene was actually pretty dead. I mean, hell, in many ways, it still is here in Florida. But we played a fair amount. We played at the old LA Hangout. I think it was in the Lutz area, I think somewhere up, I think, what was it, up 41. Played a couple of old, you know, defunct venues now, like the Green Parrot. I think that was another one. That might have been on Dale Mabry over in North Tampa. What did we play? PJ Dolan's. I think that place is still around. So we did the covers stuff. We had some original music. And at one point or another, I think maybe it was 2011 or maybe 2012, we went into a studio and we did some original music. And I was actually pretty proud of those songs that we did, because it was my first time in the studio, so it was a completely new experience for me, just learning how the studio works, learning how to work with the producer, being involved with the level of precision that's involved in making music on record. So it was a pretty crazy first experience for me that I enjoyed quite a bit, and I think the product was pretty cool as well. I remember being really excited about the songs. So what I'm going to do in a moment is I'm going to share about a minute of a song with you that we recorded in this studio. This is a song called Someone. It's a pretty straightforward rocker. I wrote, or I came up with, I guess you could call it, the chorus section or the chorus progression. The words, I believe the words were written by Jimmy, and then Shane came up with the the verse riffs and, of course, the leads. The chorus progression was kind of on me. We were all just jamming in the room. And he showed me the verse riff, but he didn't have a chorus at the time. And I was just like, hey, let's try this. This is where I kind of feel it naturally going. Let me know how this sounds. So I came up with that, and then we had it and put it together, and it became a song. This is called Someone, that we recorded back, I want to say, in 2011.
Yeah.
that song was called Someone, and again, I recorded that with Sundog back in, I think, 2010, 2011 with Jimmy, Shane, and Tony. That was more of a straightforward rocker. Now, there's another song that we recorded called Now You're Gone, and of the two songs, this was actually more my favorite. I don't know why, it just spoke to me more. This song, I'm going to play about another minute of as well, and this song, it kind of reminds me of like a Blind Melon meets sort of Crazy Little Thing Called Love by Queen, because if you really listen to the part that Jimmy's playing, the acoustic rhythm section, it's almost like a slowed down version of that song, Crazy Little Thing Called Love by Queen. Now, what's interesting about this song is that at first all we had was that part, so it was a good obviously, it was a good rhythm because it became the main, you know, one of the main parts of the song. But it was lacking. And at one point during practice one day, Shane came into the room. He's just like, hey, guys, I came up with this really cool part that we're going to layer into this song. Let me know what you think about it. And he started playing almost like this, it's kind of like this twangy Western, almost like this sleepy Western feeling thing. But he introed the song with it, and then he kept it going over the top of the acoustic rhythm that Jimmy was playing, and it really just kind of gave the song an entirely new feel and a new rhythm and a new sense. And then I put a bass line under it that kind of just kind of hopped and moved around and really brought the song to life. So I think I just like this song a lot better just because of the creative kind of mind melding that came together to create it and make it something cool. And I don't know, it just kind of has that melody that speaks to me a little bit more than Someone did. Not to say that Someone wasn't a good song that I really enjoyed, I just like this one a lot better. So this one's called Now You're Gone, and this is another song that I recorded with Sundog back, I want to say, maybe 2010, 2011. So that was Now You're Gone and Someone from the band called Sundog. And again, that's a band that I used to be in. I was in the band with Jimmy and Shane from Banded Blood, who's the band that I'm featuring on the show this week. After Sundog happened for me, I left the band. The band got a new bass player. I think they had done a couple of years of shows playing around and whatnot. And I think eventually they had wound up disbanding. Sometime in 2017, I want to say, maybe 2018, Jimmy showed me a new song that he was working on, a couple of new songs that year. And he was still into music. He was making music with Shane. I know Jimmy and Shane have always been close. And Jimmy and I have been pretty cool for quite a long time, you know, ever since I joined Sundog. And he's always showing me new music and whatnot. And anyways, Banded Blood got together, and that's just Jimmy and Shane, basically what they call the group, or what they call themselves together, making new music. And they showed me new songs in 2018-ish, I want to say. And then in 2019, Jimmy told me that they were going into the studio to record some new music. So they recorded a song called Forever, and they also recorded a song called Dragonfly. And Dragonfly was the first song that Jimmy showed me back in 2017, 2018-ish, which is all right. It was, it needed some work then, I think. It was kind of, you know, raw, maybe unproduced. But ever since the studio version came out that Jimmy showed me that they worked on in those studio sessions, it actually became my more preferred song of the two. So I'm actually going to show you, I'm going to show you Forever first. That's the song I'm going to play here in a moment. I'm going to play about a minute and a half of that. And then I'm going to show you Dragonfly. And these songs, they're a little bit, they're typically different than what I would normally enjoy. I normally go for more rock, hard rockish. These songs are a little more, I guess, softer rock in nature, but it's okay. They have good melody and they move well and they sound good, and that's what matters. And to me, that's what matters for all music, is if it sounds good, I don't really care what genre it is, whether it's hard rock, soft rock, rap, hip hop, country, death metal, whatever you want to call it. If it has melody, if it has hook, if it sounds good, then it sounds good. So this is called Forever, and this is by Banded Blood. So that was Banded Blood with a song called Forever. That was the first song that they showed me, and it's all right. It kind of reminds me, it almost has like a the Cure-ish vibe to it, which isn't really my jam, but I appreciate the effort and the production put into the music, and it's good. You know, it's good. Not it's something for everyone in music, and I think that, like I said before, if it moves and it has melody, then that's okay. And like I said, not typically what I would jam to, but that doesn't mean that I don't respect it and that I don't appreciate it, and I don't find things or qualities within the song itself that I still do happen to like. So definitely a good job to those guys for that track. Now the second one that I'm going to show you here in a second is called, again, it's called Dragonfly, and this is a song that I like a little bit more because it feels, to me, it just felt a little more authentic. It had a little more feeling to it. This song is more of a slower song. It's more of a low-key, kind of laid back. It's not really, doesn't really have drums in it, and it's just more of like a like an acoustic kind of vibey, low-key song. It's got like a degree of almost like Led Zeppelin-ish to it. It reminds me of like Going to California by Led Zeppelin. There's a particular segment of the song that like bridges at the end of the first verse, or I'm sorry, the first chorus. It reminds me of Going to California by Led Zeppelin. So I'm gonna go ahead and play this song here, and then we'll talk about Banded Blood a little bit more in just a few.
Shine bright within your eyes. Dragonflies dancing top, keeping time. So vivid like a picture burned with love. In my mind, run forever again. On and closer to you.
So again, that was Banded Blood with the song called Dragonfly. So that song, of the two songs that the band showed me that they had gotten done recording in 2019, that of the two songs, that was my preferred song. That song really just speaks to me. I think that the song itself just speaks the emotion that you're looking for when it comes to a song that has something to say. You can really feel the sadness, but the hope in the words and the melody and the music and how it all comes together. So that song, like I said, just really spoke to me a little bit more than Forever did. And that's not to take anything away from the song Forever. I think both songs are good and they both have a certain something for whatever the listener is looking for. And for what I'm looking for, Dragonfly spoke to me a little bit more. You can tell that the production quality is pretty good for both of those songs, especially if you look back at the Sundog songs that I played before. The Sundog songs, I guess, were mostly for reference and storytelling, just to kind of articulate the history of the relationship that I have with these guys. The production, though, on these two songs is definitely pretty good, and I think they did a good job and nailed that down. They worked on those songs at A&M Studios, and they worked with Triple J Productions on the production of those tracks. So, Banded Blood is Jimmy Creamer and Shane Laufridge, or Laufridge. I don't think I've ever even said his last name out loud. So we're just going to say Jimmy and Shane, and they've been good friends of mine for about 10 years now, ever since I've been in the band, or since I joined the band Sundog with them back in, I want to say 2010, 2011, I don't know. My timelines might be a little weird. I'll have to check with them. But again, good friends with mine at Live and Breathe Music, and I'm super happy to have them in my lives, and I owe them a lot for what they've allowed me to accomplish music-wise. Whether they realize it or not, it was a really big stepping stone and period of growth in my life, music-wise, when I did Sundog with them. And it's one of the main reasons why I value my relationship with those guys very much. So happy to have them around. I'm glad that they're still doing the music thing. If you'd like to check out Banded Blood, please find them on Facebook. Give them a follow or a like, whatever you want to call it. Give them a follow or like on Facebook, and you can find them on YouTube. I don't think that they're on Spotify right now, though that might be coming soon. But you can definitely listen to their music. Both of those songs you can find in full on the Facebook page. That would be the easiest way to find those songs. So one more time, that's Banded Blood, and they're out of Tampa, Florida, and those songs were called Forever and Dragonfly. I hope that you enjoyed them. If you did, definitely find the time to let me know, and then give those guys a like and a follow, and make sure that you engage with them and tell them what you thought. So I wanted to take a second, just share my opinion when it comes to discussing politics on Facebook. I'm not a very political person, and I tend to kind of shield my beliefs away from the rest of the world and the rest of my friends and family when it comes to politics, only because I've seen how divisive political opinions can be. And it's really wild to me when I see on like Facebook, mostly Facebook, but I guess Twitter is another player in like the political realm when it comes to discussing politics online. Not so much Instagram, at least not what I've seen. Anyhow, it just blows my mind all the hate and crazy things that I see people say online when it comes to people, or when it comes to them sharing their opinions or people disagreeing with what they say. I just see all these wild, crazy, radical things. And from my perspective, it's okay to have an opinion. It's okay to feel passionately about what you believe. It's okay to share what you believe. It is not okay to make somebody else feel poorly for what they believe in or what they're passionate about as well. And it's not okay to berate or belittle or become belligerent or express profanity towards somebody when they disagree with what you have to say, or on a more unsolicited basis when you disagree with what they might have shared or put out. So I know times are crazy. I know times are challenging and they're hard for everybody. I just like to take a step back and look at the situation as a chance to evaluate how people really treat people and to look at how we can maybe better understand and respect other people. And that's what I would encourage folks to do. You know, when you see that post online that somebody puts out that doesn't make sense, maybe take a second or two before you start typing to understand their perspective and maybe try to angle what you're going to say to them based upon that understanding. Because it's okay to understand even if you don't agree. And I think, you know, understanding doesn't mean that you have to agree. If somebody, somebody who doesn't feel the same way as you do might have a different background or a different upbringing or just a different angle or perspective that led them to feel or believe the way that they do based upon the environment that was cultured around them when they came up, or that they've lived their lives in, or the environment that they've been subjected to. So I like to try to at least consider or understand that when I see people say the things they do, no matter how crazy or how wacky they are. And, you know, even though I don't agree with them, I'm not going to berate or belittle them, A, because I want to be respectful and I want to maintain relationships. I don't like divisiveness, especially amongst friends and family that I care about. And I want to keep those relationships intact and in good standing. But I just don't have the energy to be negative and engaging in those kind of conversations. I feel like I have much more, much better things to do with my time. Even if it is watching wrestling or freaking playing video games or learning JavaScript, I'd rather be doing cool things than being a jerk to somebody else online about politics. So, I don't know, this is just kind of a ramble based upon what I've seen recently, and in general, if I were to summarize it, I would just say, think before you speak, consider the position or the background, the environment or the upbringing of other people and how that might influence their views. And if you really do want to say something to somebody to try to get them to change their mind or make them feel the way that you're feeling or that you believe, maybe consider that first and maybe work that into your approach, because that'll get them to maybe more, relate to you more. If you can relate to them and try to understand them, they'll open up to you more, I guess is what I'm trying to say. There's more of a credible aspect to your angle when you show somebody that you've considered and that you understand or try to understand their position instead of just going to a full court press about what you want to say and what you want them to believe. So in general, I would just say, be considerate, be respectful, and be kind to your neighbor if you disagree with them and if you feel you have to engage with them on something that you disagree with or that you're trying to get them to believe. Do you find yourself discussing politics on social media sites, Facebook, Twitter? If you do, what's your approach? How do you maintain your own sanity when engaging in political discussions with your friends or your family on social media platforms when it comes to political disagreements or disputes, or when you don't see eye to eye? Do you take any particular approaches to keep things civil or to try to? Or do you take the no holds barred approach and let anything fly? Let me know how you handle those types of discussions. I'd love to have a comment or hear a comment or a message from you. Let me know how you handle those situations. All right, everyone. So today's drink is actually kind of a special one. And the reason it's kind of a special one is because I wanted to go with something that had a little more meaning this time. And obviously with all this COVID-19 or coronavirus pandemic stuff, there's lots of crazy shortages going on, and one of those shortages is including hand sanitizer. And there's a local brewery here in Florida called Big Storm, and what's really cool about them and what they did is that they've decided to use some of their equipment that they have for making beer. They decided to use some of that equipment and started to produce hand sanitizer, you know, for the community. And some of that hand sanitizer they donated to people on the front lines and first responders and whatnot. So I just want to give a big shout out to them. It's really cool. I think it's really important during times of need to use what you can, to use what you have to help other people. And it's really cool. And it's really cool and awesome that they did that for the community using their own supplies and their own gear. Shout out to Big Storm. And what I'm drinking today is actually called Arcus. It's Arcus Southern Pale Ale, which I think it's just an IPA, technically. But I mean, I'm not refined enough to know the true difference or if there really is one. But everything I've seen online about this one says that it's an IPA. And Big Storm is a brewery that you can find in Clearwater, Florida. I think they have a couple of other locations as well, but I primarily know them from seeing them in their Clearwater location. In the show notes, I'll put whatever other locations that they have, but if you get a chance, check it out. I actually purchased Arcus Southern Pale Ale in the grocery store, but dude, just found it, and basically, it tastes like an IPA, really. It's got a very, very, very hoppy flavor. The can says that it actually has wildflower honey included in it, which includes some sweetness, which I can definitely taste. But I would say if you like IPA styles, you definitely like this one. And what's better than, you know, a local, being able to support local by drinking a local beer, and in turn helping them help the community like they have with producing hand sanitizer for the community. So that's a big win. I think it's a big win for both of us, because I'm here enjoying a drink and the community's enjoying their services and their help during these trying times. So if you get a chance, give Big Storm Brewing Company some of your business. I feel like they definitely deserve it. They also make some pretty good stuff. All right, so now it's time to talk about three things that are new to me. So this is a part of the show, again, where I discuss three things that are new to me. Not necessarily brand new things in the world, just new things that I'm experiencing myself. The first new thing that I'm going to bring up is a show on Amazon called The Man in the High Castle. This is an interesting show. It's about what the world would be like in the 1960s if the Nazis and the Japanese had won World War II. But it gets into some, almost like some sci-fi or like alternate history, weird like portal stuff, like alternate dimension stuff. And it's pretty cool the way that it all unfolds. The show has stunning visuals, first of all. It's really crazy and quite jarring to see elements of the world and monuments that are decorated with like Nazi and Japanese emblems. But the story itself is fantastically developed, and it has really, really good character development. I'm on season 2 right now, and there's 4 seasons total on Amazon. The second new thing to me is actually I'm learning JavaScript. I've decided to learn JavaScript really just as a means to enhance my skills. In some of the work that I've done before, I've brushed up against JavaScript a little bit. And it's funny, based upon like the cumulative time that I've spent looking at it, I kind of have a crude knowledge of how it works, to the point where I can see it and I can kind of reverse engineer it to basically decipher what it is that it's doing in bits and pieces when I do see it, but I've never learned it fundamentally. So I'm spending the time to learn it from a fundamental kind of ground up level. So far, I'm enjoying it. To me, it is a lot of info, so I'm taking it in bits and pieces and just kind of trying to learn it as I go. So third thing that's new to me at this time is the series of movies called Bad Boys. That's the funny cop action movie series that has Will Smith and Martin Lawrence in it. I don't have access to the third one, so I've only seen the first and second, which are available on Netflix. But nonetheless, these movies are new to me. I'd not seen them before. The first one came out in 1995, which is kind of crazy because I've been aware of the series, although I hadn't seen it. I knew that it existed. I didn't know it was that old. 1995 is, geez, like 25 years ago now. It's crazy to me that those came out. The first one came out then. And the second one came out in 2003, and I think the third one just came out. It's either late 2019 or 2020. So we're talking about a pretty wide span there, actually. The first one was okay. I'm not crazy about it. I don't really know that I'd watch it again. The second one was actually pretty good. It was entertaining. The comedy was funny, and it just felt like a better overall product from a production standpoint and even the storyline. And it just looked and felt better. The comedy was pretty good, too. I thought it had funnier moments, and it was just more enjoyable all in all. The thing about these movies is that I don't think it's the kind of movie that you really watch for the storyline. It was kind of canned. It felt kind of canned and generic in both. It's really what you're looking for is the comedy and the action. I mean, they're both Michael Bay films. It tells you all you need to know about what you're going to see unfold on the screen. But the comedy was pretty good, too. Martin Lawrence and Will Smith are pretty funny together. And I kind of feel like Martin Lawrence was that time frame's Kevin Hart. It just kind of seems like he's the goofy sidekick, always kind of picked on or seen as lesser or like underdogish almost. And it just kind of, I get like Kevin Hart vibes from him in those movies. I don't really know how to explain it. But yeah, I would recommend the second one. The first one, I could take or leave. And I guess I'll let you know when I wind up seeing the third one. So that is just about a wrap for the show. This has been episode 2 of the Win Some, Booze Some podcast. I'd like to say again that I really appreciate you listening. I really appreciate your support. If you did find the show enjoyable, please, please, please share with friends and family who might also do the same and find it enjoyable themselves. And do not forget that you can go to anchor.fm/winsomebooseome and you can leave my show a message. And you can also support the show there if you'd like. Also on that page, you'll find a landing page to several of the platforms that my podcast is listed on. And you can follow from there. I'd really appreciate a subscribe and a follow off of whatever platform you choose to listen. Thank you again so much for listening, and I will catch you next time.
This has been another episode of the Win Some, Lose Some podcast. Make sure you check in the next episode. But until then, see you later.